text here as well, and before we have our special music here. So Luke chapter 14, this is the last day we'll be in the discipleship. I know some of you are saying, yes, let's get out of this ship, amen. Yeah. By the way, this is the toughest ship next to the hard ship. Where's the hard ship at? Oh, there it is. Amen. Third one from the bottom. Discipleship is probably the toughest of the ships next to the hardship. Amen. No one likes the hardship, but discipleship is difficult as well. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to start reading in verse number 25. We have talked over the last several weeks about how in the discipleship, a disciple continues to obey. We have talked about how a disciple cares for others. We have talked about how a disciple is conscious of his occupation. Then we began to look at how a disciple considers hindrances. And in this area, Jesus begins to talk about some hindrances that can be in our way. We looked at some that may come from our family. Some may come from friends. Some may come from future plans or fun. But God wants us to recognize that certain things might hinder our discipleship. Verse number 25 in Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me," and notice that Jesus is looking at the voluntary crowd that's about to come to him, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Then he goes into the story that we're going to be looking at today in just a few moments here in verses 29 down through 32. And that's going to be the crux of what we're dealing with today. This story or this illustration that Jesus gives in two different parts, one about a builder, and another about a battler. And that is going to conclude our stay in the discipleship, although we're not jumping ship. We're going to stay in it, amen? But just consider some things that we may have to be aware of in the discipleship. And let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for what we have learned over these past several weeks about discipleship. Lord, I pray that as we look at the final area tonight, as you ask us to consider the hindrances that may be involved, that Lord, we might glorify you by continuing to abide in this ship. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, from the youngest to the oldest. Help us to discern with ears that want to hear, and then, Lord, with eyes that want to see, and then with a heart and will that's willing and ready to obey. And help us to do the will of God. Lord, I don't know what the hindrance is for each and every person here, but I do know there will be hindrances along the way of discipleship because Jesus said that there would be. And help us to look at what that hindrance may be, minimize that hindrance, and maximize our discipleship and our stay in this ship. Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you that you've done the hard work. You've gone to the cross of Calvary. You've died for our sins. You were buried, and the third day you were raised again in newness of life, Lord, to redeem us from our sin. Our job then is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can be saved, repenting of sins and receiving Christ as Savior. And help us, Lord, to abide in the discipleship once we're saved and do that which you have called us to do, obedient to follow. And we'll thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Miss Antoinette is going to sing for us.
My longing for love wouldn't go away. I was desperate, searching, broken by pain, looking for answers, but nothing seemed right. Where was my answer? What was my life? Blinded by sin, I was lost, couldn't see until I turned my eyes to Calvary. Oh, the cross where Jesus died, shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost. My debt was paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross. Day after day, as I live my life, I find heartache, trouble, battles to fight, when fear tries to grip me and I feel alone. Jesus is with me. No, I'm not on my own. Now I can say in my heart I believe my life's been changed because of Calvary. Oh, the cross where Jesus died, shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost. My debt was paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross. Oh, the cross where Jesus died, shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost. My debt was paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross where Jesus died, shed his blood, gave his life for you and I. My sins erased, no longer lost, no longer lost. My debt was paid, I am saved. Oh, the cross.
Jeanette, oh, the cross where Jesus died. Amen. He paid the price for you and I. Never, ever lose the value of the cross. Amen. The Bible says it's by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that we are saved. Amen. We recognize that our sins were placed on Christ. He was put on that cross. It should have been you and I. Amen. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You and I had no ability to resurrect ourselves. Amen. But Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, died for our sins, buried and risen again. Amen. Never lose the value of the cross. Amen. Well, we're finishing up this area on discipleship, and I know some of us will be glad to get out of this ship. Amen. It's been a gruesome one. Been some tough times, but I'm glad that we can get past it. Amen. We're talking about a disciple considers the hindrances. And last week we looked at verses 26 and 27 and 28. And let me just recap what we were talking about, because Jesus pretty much said, look, you need to consider the hindrances that are there. Notice what he says down there at verse 25 in Luke chapter 14. And there went great multitudes with him. He's preaching and teaching along the way, and a crowd begins to follow him. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, and I'm going to use Gregory as an illustration. Come on up, Gregory. So Gregory's part of the crowd. And I call Gregory out of the crowd because all this crowd is following me. And so as Jesus turns to them, he turns and says unto them, if any man come to me. Now, Gregory has come to me. He's come out of the crowd. He's come out of the masses, and he is coming to me. And I say, Gregory, now, if you're going to come to me, this is the criteria. You need to hate or love less. You better not hate me. Hate means love less. Amen. Y'all got that? Love less. Amen. He's not saying hate your father, your mother, and brother. He's saying, yeah, nah, I can hate my parents. No, no, no. That's sin. Amen. Bible says that you're supposed to love your parents, honor your father, and your mother. Amen. The word hate there means to love less. He says, if any man come to me, Greg, if you come to me and love less, not your father, and love less your mother, and love less your wife, you married? Love less your children. You got children? Better not. And love less your brethren, and love less your sister. And yea, love less your own life also. If you don't love all those left, you cannot be my disciple. So he's got to consider that. You consider that? All right. Amen. So he's come to me, and I turned. I say, hey, look, you've got to love less all these people. Then he says, and conjunction on top of that. Thought it was bad enough already, didn't you? Your family's at stake, your friends are at stake, your fun, your future, everything you want to do is at stake. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross. Now you need something heavy. Can you pick up this chair? I will give you this table. We'll give you something less heavy. Ah, here we go. This is a good cross for you. Put that over your shoulder there. All right. And conjunction. After you're loving less your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your own life also. And then he says, verse 27, whosoever does not bear his cross, he's got his cross. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me. Now he's got to follow me wherever I go. He cannot be my disciple. So now you're loving less your family. You're loving less your friends. You're loving less your brothers. You're loving less your sisters. You're loving less your own life also. You've come to me. Now I'm saying you got to come after me. You got to follow me. You got to go where I go. You got to do what I do. What ingenuity. Amen. You say it's easy for you. You don't have a cross, Dad. Amen. I'm Jesus. I was already on the cross. Amen. All right. So he's got to come after me. He's got to go through the obstacles of life. Life is not going to always be easy. There are going to be things in your way. There are going to be people in your way. So you may have to alter course and go someplace else because there are people in your pathway. And he's tearing up my church. And so wherever I go, you've got to go. Forsaking family, forsaking friends, forsaking future, forsaking fun, forsaking mom, forsaking dad, forsaking everything that you want to do. You've got to follow me, even when it's tough. Tired yet? You got to follow for the rest of your life, son. What kind of idea is this? Amen. So he says now, if you know this is the case, the conditions are come to me, loving less all those individuals and your own life. The condition is now come after me, follow me, go where I go, do what I do, and be whatever I want you to be. But then he says, now let me give you an illustration as to what this is like, because I've asked you to come to me and you've come. Now I'm asking you to come after me and you're ready, but let me tell you what it's going to involve. That is the next part of this sermon that he's about to give. Let me tell you what it's going to cost you. Okay, son, I appreciate that. Joshua said, I didn't have to do all that last week. He's older. Amen. So coming up here, he says, I want you to consider the consequences of your actions. If you're going to come after me, this ship is not for the squeamish. This ship is not for the quitters. This ship is not for those that want to jump ship. Discipleship is tough. By the way, the disciples knew exactly what the cross represented. We talked about this last week. It was an instrument of suffering and death. You went on it alive. You came off of it dead. Remember, he says, yea, and his own life also. And what does God require of us? A living sacrifice. He didn't want you dead. He wants you dedicated. Amen. Hey, if you've got a football team, what would you rather have, dead players or dedicated players?
Dedicated.
If you've got workers at your job, would you rather have dead workers or dedicated workers? Amen. Hey, we don't want any dead sacrifices before the Lord. We want dedicated people that can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. If you're going to do this, if you're going to come after me, it's going to require something. It's going to require something. Say, preacher, what is it going to require? First of all, it's going to require the method of a builder. Notice what he says down there in verse number 28. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What is Jesus saying here in the first part of this story about this builder? Now, by the way, this is not talking about keeping yourself saved. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God. So this is not keeping yourself saved. This is not, well, I can't hold out until the end of my life to stay saved. No, once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible says everlasting life, eternal life. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. So this is not about keeping yourself saved. This is about being a disciple. For which of you intending to build? He says, first of all, you need to count and calculate the cost. Count and calculate the cost. Which of you intending to build the tower? Sit that down first and count the cost, whether they have sufficient to finish it. Now, I know a lot about counting the cost. I've been in a building program twice. We had the storefront and then we had this one. And I had great plans, Brother Neil. Most of y'all see the steeple outside, right? The steeple that you see is not the steeple that I designed. If you saw the plans, that steeple is supposed to be glass. Okay, plexiglass. And that steeple is supposed to go all the way up with a cross on top. And the idea was our name was Shining Light. So I wanted a glass steeple so at night the light shined up through it and you could see the light from miles around. But guess what? I counted the cost and it was not in my budget. And so I had to go back to the architect and I said, look, this is out of my budget. In my mind, it wasn't as expensive as it is on paper. And I went down there and I said, how much is this going to cost? And he said, oh, about $100,000. I said, oh, man, I don't want the Crystal Cathedral, my soul. I just want a little glass steeple up there. And the architect said, well, you know what you could do? You could put a regular steeple up there. And if you want lights, put some lights around the outside. He said, and then you could put some lights, some windows around it so people can still see the light from the inside, but the light is shining up. I said, how much would that cost me? He said, oh, that's easy. That's only about $60,000. So what you see out there is Plan B. Plan A cost too much. Why? I counted the cost. Guess what? If I'd have spent money on that Crystal Cathedral. Any of y'all know what Crystal Cathedral is? Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. If I'd have spent all that money on that, this inside wouldn't look like it does. That modular wouldn't be out there. We wouldn't have the carpet. We wouldn't have the tile. We wouldn't have the lights. We wouldn't have the fan. It would be like it was when we first bought it. How many of y'all would like that? How many of y'all saw that? Amen. It was not pretty, but it'll look good from the outside. We'd had a glass a steeple up there, and people would say, ooh. Then they get inside and say, ooh. It would have been just that bad. And so he says, hey, wait a minute. He says, if you're going to come to me, and then you're going to come after me, he says, you need to count the cost. Notice what he says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. I had another cost to this building. Y'all see the module out there, right? That's called a double wide. I wanted a triple wide. I wanted space. And they came out and they said, a triple wide will cost you this much money. I said, yes, that's in the budget. We can do it. Then TEP came out. TEP said, we've got an electrical line running from here all the way out to that pole, right across where you want to put it. Now, if you want to put it there, you have to reroute our wires by digging up all the concrete out there, route it this way, and go this way. How much is that going to cost me? Of course, it was not in the budget. So guess what I had to do? I had to go with Plan B, the modular that you see out there. Amen. It's a double Y. I wanted a triple Y. And guess what? I had to count the cost. To follow Jesus, we need to consider what it's going to cost us. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some family. It may cost you some fun. But it's worth it. Hey, when I got saved, I didn't have to drop my friends. My friends dropped me. I came to tell them, hey, you know what? I got saved. Jesus is the best thing that happened to me. Would you like to be saved? They shunned me like I had leprosy. I had a few that actually got saved, and they came with me. They came after Jesus, and they followed Jesus. Why? Because I was followed. But some, they said, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You're one of those people. You're one of those anti-fun people. You're one of those non-booze drinkers. You're one of those kick the habit of smoking people. You're one of those non-cursing people. You're one of those don't watch any R-rated movies people. You're one of those people that don't want to hang out at the club till 1 o'clock in the morning until you can't see anymore. You're one of those people. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Hey, count the cost. Young people, when you go to school, school's starting up now. Hey, you better count the cost, what it takes to follow Jesus, because I'll tell you, when you start following Jesus, you're not going to be as popular as you used to be. When you carry around the book and when you carry around his word and when you get in his name, guess what? Some people don't want to follow with you anymore. What he's saying, he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? By the way, let me help you out. Don't say what I said before I got saved. I said, preacher, what did you say? I said, I'm not going to get saved because I don't think I can live the Christian life. If you don't get saved, you know what will happen? You'll go to a place called hell. But I said, I'm not going to get saved because I'm counting the cost and I don't think I can live like that. I don't think I can stop drinking. I don't think I can stop smoking. I don't think God didn't ask me to do any of that. He just said, get saved. He said, get saved. By the way, when Jesus Christ comes in, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was putting the cart before the horse, and the cart cannot push the horse. Amen. Hey, I was making a big mistake by saying, I'm not going to get saved because I don't think I can live the Christian life. Let me help you out. Nobody can live the Christian life. It's Christ living through you. By the Spirit of God. And so don't be like I was. I'm not going to get saved because I can't hold out. You never could hold out. I'm so glad the Bible says I'm kept by the power of God. I don't have to keep myself saved. Amen. And so he says, first of all, you need to count the cost if you're going to be my disciple. If you're going to come after me, you've got to count the cost and you've got to lay the foundation and finish. By the way, the Bible says this, other foundation can no man lay, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus lays the foundation. He wants you to be a wise builder in the life. Amen. Go over to 2 Corinthians with me real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what it says down there in verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But notice verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Preacher, what does that mean? It means when you get saved, God says you can build some things on your life, wood, hay, stubble, or precious stones. He says your motive will determine what and how you build, but if you use wood, hay, stubble, things that don't matter, it's going to be burned up. You won't get the reward that you think you're getting, but you still are saved. Amen. That's good to know. I'm still saved, but what I thought I was working for was worthless. It got burned up because I didn't have the right motive. Oh, I went soul winning because a preacher told me I should. Amen. That's true. You should, but your heart should be in it for God. Amen. Oh, well, I'm going to read my Bible, but just because the preacher said so. That's true. The preacher said so, but you need to read it from an obedient heart of God, not to get the preacher off your back. Amen. What we do, the motive is going to be tried. So he said, take heed how you build. Go back over there to Luke chapter 15 again. 14, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 14. And so he gives this first illustration in Luke chapter 14. And he says, hey, look, you need to count and calculate the cost. But then you need to let me lay the foundation and then finish it. Out in Vail, there is a house. Notice what it says down there in verse number 29. Lest happily after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All the beholder began to mock him and saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Out on Vail, where I live at, on Marianne Cleveland, there was a house that sat way off the road. And it seemed like it was forever being built. It just stood out there. And it seemed like a little bit of work would happen, then it would stop for several months. A little bit of work would happen, and it would stop for several more months. A little bit more work, and you'd see the big dumpster out there. And I began to look at that house. And I said, I wonder what's happening with that house. I said, maybe, like the Bible, he laid the foundation, didn't have enough money to finish it. I said, or maybe he didn't count the cost, didn't have enough money to do it. And so he's got to do it in months and in increments when he gets the cash. But eventually, guess what happened? The house was built. And the owner moved in. And it was set way off the road. I thought, man, he's got a lot of isolation. He's all by himself. I thought, honey, that's the kind of house I want to have. Way out there where nobody out. I can go out into the woods and shoot some quail or shoot myself or whatever happens. Shoot myself in the foot. I'm not a good hunter, amen. But I'm going to go shoot some quail, some rabbits, or some ducks or pigeons. Okay, not pigeons. But I'm going to do something. I want a house like that. Then the unthinkable happened. They build a complex right next to me. And his house that sat all by itself now has about 200 houses right in front of it, and you can't even see it anymore. I wonder if he counted the cost as to what was going to happen down the road. You know, when we serve God, he tells us what's going to happen. He tells us exactly how things are going to go. He tells you some good things that'll happen, but he tells you some bad things that are going to happen if you follow him. Now, this guy who bought this house and built that house, he had no idea they were going to build this massive complex right next to his house. And I told my wife, I'm so glad I didn't get the house way out there, amen. I'm going to check the city next time where I go next year. There's no complexes going to come, so I got to do some hunting space, amen. And some grass cutting space to teach my boys how to cut grass. Pull weeds. Manicure, amen. What am I saying? He said, you need to count the cost. I looked at that house, and I thought, this guy, he didn't have enough to finish. There must be something wrong. Hey, we don't want people to look at us that way and say, hey, look, this Christian, they started off down the road. Hey, they started off going fast. They were reading their Bible. They were going to church, and now look at him. They're a has-been or he never was. But I'm so glad even if you're a has-been, you can start doing again. But if you were a never was, you need to get saved. Amen. But I'm so glad we can stop, and sometimes God has to get along there and woo us on and say, hey, look, I laid the foundation. You need to finish, continue, go strong, keep the faith, go forward. You can do this. I'm glad God sends us encouragement. He says, hey, Jesus said, if you're going to come to me and come after me, I want you to consider, count the cost, calculate it. Let me lay the foundation, then finish it. Stay on course. And so he gives the illustration of a builder. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. As happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it all, the beholder began to mock him. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The last thing I want is for people to make a mockery of Christ because of me. After being saved over 20 years, I almost want to say, 20 years, it lasted you that long and now you gave up. Now you're not going to church anymore. Now you're not serving God anymore. It happens.
It happens. It happens. We can get mad at God. We can fall out with God. We can fall out with a brother or sister. We can fall out with the church. We can fall out with the preacher. We can fall out with the preacher's wife. We can fall out with the deacons. We can fall out with the assistant preacher. We can fall out with anybody in the church. And after 10, 15, 20 years, we'll have these excuses. And people say, hey, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you came to Jesus. I thought you were coming after him. Well, I let Jesus lay the foundation, but I couldn't finish it. It's never up to you to finish anyway. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. Jesus is doing the work. You're just yielding yourself to be available. Come after me. Well, he gives a second illustration talking about discipleship. Verse number 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? He said, look, I've only got 10,000. Can I really match 20,000? Verse 32, or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. By the way, he gives another connotation toward this king making sure he's prepared before going to war. No one wants to enter a war that he can't win. So there's some consequences to consider there in verse 31. He said, he's got, you've got 10,000, he's got 20,000. How many of y'all want to enter a fight you can't win? You know, I made the stupidest mistake when I was in first grade of getting into a fight with a second or third grader. He was clear. I mean, in my eyes, he looked like Hercules. I was this little scrawny kid. And this guy, he was bigger than me already. And I'm going to pick a fight with him. Who do you think you are? I had three sisters. Nobody to get my back. I can see if I had three brothers. I had three sisters. What are they going to do? Go get your sister. And I went up there like, what you going to do? You know how you do when you're kids. You know, you go around on your shoulder. I was saying, I'll hope he back off. And we went around, And I'm thinking, somebody come and pull me away. Because I'm like this. He didn't back up. I didn't back up. And people got dizzy, I guess, from watching us go around in circles. Somebody pushed me into him. And that was all she wrote. Boom, 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 boom. We rolled down the steps. Boom, 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 boom. He beat the devil out of me. You know what I found out? Don't pick a fight that you can't win. And don't pick on somebody bigger than you. And don't pick on somebody when all you got is sisters. Now, if I had some brothers in the playground, they'd say, that's my boy. Boy, you better get off my brother. Come here. I had sisters. I think they was like this. Sorry, son. That's for all the mean stuff you did to us. You're on your own, kid. Get him, Greg. It was probably cheering for the enemy. He's saying, look, if you're going to go to war, if you've got 10,000 and they got 20,000, you better consider. The odds are, unless your 10,000 are very skilled, you might be in trouble. That's what he says down there. Jesus giving this illustration. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first, consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? I didn't consider the cost. I thought somebody was going to pull me off. I thought maybe if I act tough, that would do something. Let me grit my teeth. Don't pick a fight with somebody bigger than you. That's foolish. I got the battle wounds to prove it. He says, wait a minute. If you're going to get in that discipleship, you need to be wise like a builder, and you need to be wise like a battler. He says, otherwise, notice what happens down in verse 32. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage or a delegation of people and desireth conditions of peace. And say, hey, look, you don't send for conditions of peace. Why? He knows he can't win. He says, if you don't consider the consequences, you will have to consult and communicate and call for conditions of peace. Jesus is saying here, let me give you this illustration. If you're going to come to me and come after me, you're going to have to recognize, you're going to have to love less your life. You've got to love less some people. If you're going to come after me, there's going to be some cost to count. There's going to be some foundations to be laid, and you're going to have to be able to finish this course. You're going to understand, you're going to have to consult and communicate or ask for conditions of peace. He says, understand that. And so he says, so likewise, verse 33, whosoever he be of you. Who's he talking to? That crowd in verse number 25. They were in great multitudes with him. He's talking to that crowd. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, he's also talking to you and I, because he says, whosoever. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. He says, if you don't love less all and leave all, he cannot be my disciple. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for the discipleship? You know, there's a group of early Christians that were ready for that discipleship. Let me show you them and just go over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter number 5. Say, preacher, this is a tough ship. I didn't say it was going to be easy. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. Luke chapter number 5. And in Luke chapter number 5, notice he's calling his disciples here, the ones that would follow him, the ones that he is not speaking to in chapter 14. He's speaking to the crowd in chapter 14. But here he's calling his disciples, chapter 5 of Luke, chapter number 5, in verse number 11. He says, going on to verse number 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, that's Simon Peter. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, speaking of James and John and Simon, he says, they forsook how much? All and followed him. They forsook all. Come down a little bit further, chapter 5 and verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican or tax collector named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, what are those words? Follow me. And he left how much? All, rose up and what? Followed him. So we see the early disciples, they forsook all and they followed him. They followed him. They left all and they followed him. It is doable. It is doable. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I had my plans laid out. I was going to be the chief master sergeant of the Air Force. I was on that road. I was winning quarterly awards. I was winning monthly awards. I was at the top of my class. I was shooting for the stars, hoping I'd just land on the moon if possible. And I said, I'm going to be the chief master sergeant of the Air Force. My mother said, there is nothing you can't do. You set your mind to it, son. Set your sights on it. Go after it. I wasn't saved then. So I said, I'm going to be the chief master sergeant of the Air Force. Was that guy's name? Binken, that passed away. The first black chief master sergeant of the Air Force. Binken, something like that. Amen. I said, I'm going to be just like him. Funny thing happened, though. February 3rd, 1991, I met Jesus, and I got saved. I didn't want to be chief master of the Air Force anymore. Matter of fact, truth be known, Pastor, I didn't want to be in the Air Force anymore. I wanted to be an evangelist. I wanted to go around and preach to everybody I get my hands on. And because I was in a commitment, I couldn't get out of the military, I still went around preaching to everybody I could in the military. I couldn't wait to get my time done. Why? I was ready to forsake all and follow him. Now, hear me now. That was the will of God for my life. That may not be the will of God for your life. That was the will of God for my life. I said, Lord, I love less everything that you mentioned. Lord, I love less my own life. Lord, I'm counting the cost about this building. And Lord, I'm counting the cost about this battle. And Lord, I'm willing to forsake all. And I don't care who follows me. As long as you're with me, I'm ready to go. My wife said, I'm ready to follow you, honey, wherever God tells you to go. Let's go. And so the battle was already established and stated. The building was already established and stated. I knew that my own life was at stake and at jeopardy. I knew that friends and families and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers were not going to be a question to me. That was done. But it may be different for you. You may not be in the same predicament that I was. Go over to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. See, each one of us has to find the will of God for his life. And each one of us has to be willing to forsake whatever God would have us to forsake to follow the will of God for our life. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Notice what Peter would say towards the end of their life. Matthew 19 and verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken how much? All and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter said, hey, look, we've given up everything, Lord. What's in it for us now? By the way, don't ever get in it for what you can get out of it. Get in it for Jesus' sake. He said, for my sake. Paul said, Peter said, we left everything. What do we get now? Jesus goes down and lets him know everything that they would get. You know what he says in essence? It's worth it. Notice what he says, verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, you're going to be a judge. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren, notice that, everyone. Everyone that's forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, all the things that he had mentioned in Luke 14. Hey, forsake all this. Love it less. For my name's sake, notice that it's for his name's sake, not because I want to get something, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. He said, you'll be saved. Many that are first should be last, and last should be first. Peter said, what do we get? Jesus said, a lot. It is worth it. Is it tough? It is tough. Discipleship is not easy. And that's why Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, if you're going to come after me, let me caution you. You will have to love less some people. You will have to love less your own self. You will have to consider like a builder, and you will have to consider like a battler. He says, if you're not willing to do that, you really can't be my disciple, because that's what it takes. Hey, folks, I'm not saying it's easy. But I am saying that God is able to help you in the discipleship. Say, preacher, was it easy for you to give up everything? Yeah. Well, yeah, it was pretty easy to give up everything. But it wasn't easy to hear people talk about me. It wasn't easy for me to hear people saying, well, you're trying to put us on this back burner and all you want is God, God, God. It wasn't easy. I had to learn along the way how to learn how to love my wife. How to love my mother and father better, God's way. How to love my sister, God's way. How to love my friends, God's way. Because at first I had the attitude, I got mine, get yours. But that's not the case. God said, you have me, now give them me by loving them and taking care of them. I had to learn that in the discipleship. Because I went back rude and crude. You don't want my God, I don't want you. That is not the love of God. That's not. But that's the mentality I had at first. What did I have to do? I had to get into discipleship and learn. If I'm going to love less my mother and father and sister and brother and my friends and all these and my own life too, I've got to learn how to love them properly less. See, it's not a one and done. I just hate all y'all. No.
Yeah.
We still have to be a witness in the discipleship. Jesus gives a vivid illustration here. If you're not willing to do all that, you cannot be my disciple. My question to you today is, what does God want you to love less? Is it a hobby? Is it a job? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it a child? Is it a parent? Is it a sport? Is it a goal? Is it something that you're aspiring to achieve? See, to be in the discipleship, I have to love some things less. Jesus goes to great length to explain to them, it's not going to be easy. You will have to give up something. My question to you is, what is it God wants you to give up? He said, yea, in his own life also. Maybe your dreams. Maybe your goals. I told you I wanted to be the chief master sergeant in the Air Force. Figured I could retire with fame, fortune, and fun. God said, no, I want you to go through the fires, and I want you to pull others out of the fire by being a preacher of the gospel. But Lord, that's not in my plans. If you follow after me, it is. If you come to me, it is. And guess what? I said, Lord, I will. I will. Has it been easy? I wish it was. Is it easy now? I wish it was. Will it be easy tomorrow, the next day, after that? I hope it will be. But you know what? I'm ready to count the cost. I'm a builder. I'm a battler. I've already understood that it may cost me something. And you know what? I only have to pay with a temporary life. Jesus already gave his life. All I'm doing is saying, Lord, here's my life. I'm a living sacrifice. Just like G2, I'm willing to follow you. That can always be easy, but I want to do that. I don't know if you're here today, you might say, preacher, I need to improve my discipleship. Jesus wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to lead you, but you have to come to him by way of salvation first. Then you have to be willing to come after him. If you're not saved today, Jesus invites you to eternal life. God's own son has already died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he wants you to be a disciple, to follow him. Care for others, continue in his word, be conscious of your occupation, but then be considerate of the hindrances. The devil will throw you every hindrance out there, and you've got to say, I'm committed to follow, irregardless. If you're not saved, I invite you to come and let us share the word of God so you can know how to be saved. If you don't have a good church home, I invite you, come, make this your home. Maybe you need to get baptized, I invite you to come. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe God's calling you to step away and love less something, I invite you to come. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, bless now this time of invitation. Many, many hearts are here. Many needs are here. Lord, maybe someone needs to count the cost. Maybe someone needs to finish with the foundation that you've laid. Maybe someone here today needs to get baptized. Maybe someone here does need to be saved. Maybe someone here does need to join the church. Lord, you know what needs to happen. And as this last day in the discipleship, speak to hearts, speak to minds. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. How many would be honest here to say, preacher, if I died right now, I know that heaven is my home. There is no doubt in my mind. I know I'm saved. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And if I died right now, I'm on my way to heaven. And just by lifting your hand, you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. Amen. Hands are going up all over. Praise God for it. What a blessing. You may put them down. How many will say, preacher, you know, if the truth be known, I think I'm saved, but I'm not sure. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? I think I'm saved, but I'm not absolutely sure, and I want to be sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that all across this room? I think I'm saved, but I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Amen. But how many would be honest and say, preacher, you know, there are some things that I need to do to stay in this discipleship. Maybe some things I need to forsake. Maybe some cost to count. Maybe to continue to finish what Jesus has done in my foundation. I want to be like that builder. I want to be like that battler. Would you pray for me that I could be like the builder, like the battler? I want to finish. I want to count the cost. Would you pray for me, preacher? You raise your hands and preacher, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over. Amen. You may put them down. Father, bless now this invitation time. Help us to do what you have called us to do, to abide in the discipleship and to do the will of God. Through the tough times and through the circumstances, help us to count the cost and finish what you have laid by our foundation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. As invitation plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to move and come down to an old-fashioned altar. Or maybe you need to do business with God today. Say, Lord, I'm like that builder. I want to count the cost. I'm like that battler. I want to be able to meet the opponent. Maybe you need to count the cost and calculate what it's going to take. The altar is open. you can come and pray. Maybe you need to pray for a brother or sister. Maybe you need to pray like I did. Lord, I want to love less my mother, father, sister, and brother so that I can love you more, but I don't know how. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray how to love less a mother, father, sister, or brother, to love more God. Maybe you need to be like the builder. Count the cost. Maybe like the battler. Understand what's necessary and what's needed. Less than that, able to finish. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one. How to love that mother better, that brother better, that sister better, that father better, that co-worker better. Loving less is not despising. It's putting Jesus Christ in his rightful position where he belongs. I don't know about you, but I want to finish what God has laid in my foundation. I want my building to be complete when Jesus calls for me. I want him to find me busy building. I want him to find me busy battling. But you've got to count the cost. I've got to count the cost. Perhaps you're here today and maybe you need to come forward for baptism. Say, preacher, I need to be baptized. I'm willing to take that surrendering step and be baptized. The doors of the church are open. Maybe you're already baptized. You say, preacher, I need to join this fellowship. I'm already scripturally baptized, scripturally saved. I need to join this church. Maybe you need to come forward. Deacons, assistant pastors standing by, they can counsel with you, let you know what you need to join this church. Let you know what you need to do to be baptized. Or perhaps there's something that God's calling you to step away from, something God's calling you to do to be a better builder, a better battler. Not to help you stay saved, but to help you in your saved life to be more effective in the cause of Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. I want to be like Peter and understand there's some things waiting if we do forsake everything here. Something ahead waiting. Father, thank you for the discipleship. Thank you for the truths we learned over these past several weeks of abiding in this ship. Well, we understand that at the root of disciple, it comes with discipline, and it's not going to be an easy one. And Jesus just plainly told them, if you're going to come to me and come after me, there are some requirements or you cannot be my disciple because it's not an easy road. But Lord, he requires us and desires us to be a disciple if we want to be more effective for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love of God in Christ Jesus, and thank you that we can be effective in the discipleship. And I do pray for those that want to be better builders, Lord, that they would continue to count the cost and finish what you have started. And Lord, that those that raise their hands and I want to be a better battler, and they're making sure that what they set out to do, that it can be done through the power of God. Lord, so that no one can mock and say they began, but they did not finish. Thank you that it's in the name of Jesus we can do it. And thank you that it's in the power of God that we can do it, and it's with and through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that we operate. Only thing that we have to do is yield ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you. And then, Lord, to take us, even as the song says, mold us, make us, fill us, use us by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help each one of us leave here, Lord, more knowledgeable about what you want us to do. And then help us to do what you called us to do. And we'll thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.